ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No, Branham, he's on vacation until Tuesday. Barry Laminack with me until he gets back. AJ Cyclone Fence Guy, who rides it on every topic, is our producer. AJ, tell the world your last name and how you aspire to work on the Killer Bees.
My last name is Russ, R-U-S-S, and then, I mean...
So you have two first names. You have AJ and you have Russ.
I guess so. I mean, technically, three. AJ, I'm a junior, so that's not my first
You're
name.
You're a what?
I'm a junior. So.
Oh, I thought you said something else.
Ooh, what? No.
It's like, did so I miss another hip term?
Wait, no.
Might have swung and missed on that one. Got me. I don't know. I'm glad I was wrong. Again, if you mess with the Rockets, you got to go through Shin Doom. You are stupid. I hate you for this.
I was Shin Doom?
Shin Doom. Total Dallas, which is total stupidity, too. All in with Al Prin. That's a nickname for a fan club? Or is that an acronym that you'd like to use on air?
A what?
Instead of an acronym, an acronym.
Oh, you
see
nice.
See what I did there? Now, when
there.
I participate, they make some sense. Come on, Total Dallas. Be better.
Oh, boo.
All right, now,
man.
On the topic, okay. Topic we were getting to.
Yes.
Tyler in Conroe says, I'm a huge Tucker fan. My family's a huge Tucker fan. We all have Tucker jerseys, but I would ship him off in a second if it was any deal that accelerates the reload. I completely agree with that because I think that's exactly how I categorize it, too. It's not a rebuild. It's not starting over and pressing the reset. I think you can reload. And if you trade Fromber and you trade Tucker and you look at the going rates, okay, you take Crochet, all right? Crochet goes for four prospects. Fromber, maybe a little older than Crochet, but Fromber is the same caliber of pitcher to where I should assume to get three or four prospects, high-level prospects, from whoever I trade them to. So if I take that haul and I package it with Tucker, and you can look at the Soto deals, both the ones that from the Nationals, what the Yankees gave the Padres, and say, okay, somewhere in the middle, I can get a combination of ready, like a heel, a pitcher ready to contribute on the major league level and be above average now, and even more prospects. Now I have totally added possibly seven prospects that could really restart my farm system that's been depleted, and I can get a major league player or two. Plus, I shed so much salary because I don't have to pay 15 plus for Tucker, 15 plus for Fromber, depending on what happens with Bregman and or if I get a prospect or a player that means like a Paredes or a Baum, just throwing it out there, that I don't have to replace Bregman in free agency for this upcoming season. I've got money to play with to add and fill other holes on my team.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, I just saw something that said the Yankees are interested in Bregman as well.
Yeah, but that's just a flat-out signing, which I understand.
Well, I mean, yeah. But, you know, it
like 4661 says trade's got to hurt a little, even for the team getting the prospects and giving up the player. And I don't think the Phillies are offering enough to get the deal done.
If the Yankees sign Bregman, then that means that they're probably not trading for Tucker.
I disagree with that.
Oh.
I totally disagree with that. Because
I don't think.
They said that if they didn't sign Soto, that they were...
If they sign Bregman, then they know they're going to have to spend equal or more on Tucker.
But I heard that if they didn't sign Soto, they would be interested in Christian Walker, Alex Bregman, and one pitcher, which started out being Corbin Burns, but could end up being Max Fried, who they already signed.
Yeah.
So you can sign Walker and Bregman. You already got Max Fried, and now that takes Tucker out of the equation. Yeah. But if you don't do that, nothing precludes you from saying, I can give you a package of players that can at least get me the rental of Kyle Tucker, knowing I still have to sign him, but at least I replace Soto for this year.
I don't know. I don't think they would do that, though. I don't think they would give away prospects just to rent Kyle Tucker.
They're not high-end prospects. They're going to be under the assumption.
You know what I mean?
If they were willing to pay Soto, they'll be willing to. I mean, we know the Yankees never spare expense.
No, but also I don't think they were just going to throw away top-tier assets for a rental either. I think they would. I think for them, it's either they're going to trade for Tucker or they're going to sign Bregman. One of the two.
Maybe so.
But
yeah, Eric said Cubs for sure. Why can't we be the team that takes advantage again like they did when Luno was here? I don't know exactly what he's referring to. I thought, you know, Luno obviously did a phenomenal job as a general manager, aside from the whole cheating scandal. But I think that, look, you know, Daryl Morey used to be famous for fleecing teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the one way that you can really endear yourself to Astros fans and to people like us that talk about the team on a daily basis is get this right. You know, evaluate. You're supposed to be a guy that has an unbelievable and uncanny knack for evaluating young talent, getting him to the big leagues, and whether that's Michael Harris or Freed or some of the guys that he was involved in with the Braves. If you can pull off trades for these two guys, if you can pull off a trade for Ryan Pressly, then you already get a gold star,
mm-hmm.
because you got to want him and want his $14 million contract, and he's got to waive a no trade. But if you trade Fromber and you trade Tucker and you get about 7 or 8 prospects out of the deal and 1 or 2 major league players, you have more than done your job in keeping this team relevant and setting up a future for this squad.
100%. And I found the Cubs trade on MLB trade rumors, and the two prospects that they listed that the Astros are interested in, it says Cubs by contrast are flush with young talent that the Astros seem to prioritize. Top infield prospect Matt Shaw is primarily a second baseman by trade. And then they're also interested in Cam Smith, who was their last year's, or I think 2024, first round pick. So
third baseman, I think.
Yeah. So Cam Smith is a third baseman. He's right now he's rated as their 7th best prospect in their farm system. Mm-hmm. Matt Shaw is rated as their number 1 prospect in their farm system. So you would be getting Paredes, Matt Shaw, and Cam Smith. So you'd be getting their 1st and their 7th best prospects in their farm system, plus Paredes.
Who plays 2 positions. He plays 3rd and 1st.
Yeah. And now he had, I'm looking at his numbers, and you can't really judge it off of last year with the Cubs, because it was only 52 games. He had an 82 OPS plus. That's not good.
From the American League to the National League.
Right. For the year, he had a 112. He had a 127 at Tampa. Yeah, so that's great.
And then,
127 is fantastic. And he's only 25.
You pull that trade off.
I'm happy.
But you could still sign Alex Bregman. If you sign Alex Bregman, now your first base woes are completely solved, because now Paredes plays 1st, Bregman plays 3rd. Everything on that team is still set. Yes, you have to figure out outfield, but at the same time, you're better already offensively in the infield, for sure.
And Matt Shaw becomes your, he's kind of like a utility, because he could play 2nd, he can play short, he could play 3rd, he could play 1st. So if you do lose Bregman, then he, you know what I mean?
Now the question would become, if you did that, would Crane, and you have options, you could trade Fromber if you wanted to go out and get another outfielder or in another in another haul. If you traded Fromber and said, okay, I didn't address losing Tucker in right field, and I personally, I've said, I don't want to see Chaz and Jake in the same outfield. If I could get a ready-to-play outfielder and some more prospects for Fromber Valdez, I believe my team's better than it was a year ago.
I think you'd have to. I think at that point, you'd have to trade somebody. You'd have to trade an arm. You already have a plethora. Would you say I have a plethora of gifts? Mm. Name that movie. AJ, you know that movie?
He doesn't. He's still stuck in the Goonies.
You don't know that movie?
No, I don't.
Bro.
I don't either, but I don't. He likes the Goonies.
Three Amigos.
Bro.
You never seen Three Amigos, have you?
Oh, Chevy, no, I haven't. Chase. I'm just wondering what his beef is
Steve
with.
Steve Martin.
Is El Jefe when he goes, would you say I have a plethora of gifts? Anyways, you already have a plethora of arms. You have too many.
Right.
And so you could, even if it's not, I mean, you're not replacing Tucker in that spot, but you have replaced essentially his value, right, in the lineup.
Get like a Teoscar Hernandez or a corner outfielder, even if you pull this trade off, unless I think you would probably have to tap into, whether it's Fromber or other starters, you would have to tap into those guys to trade to get a player before he would dip in to free agency and want to spend the money.
I have an idea.
Oh, boy.
Trade Fromber to the Cubs for Tucker.
AJ, we'll go to break. We'll come back. We'll have plenty more discussions to be had. Because on that note, I'm not dealing with any more of that. I've already had enough of that today. All right, this is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Jeremy's out till Tuesday. Barry's in. Barry Laminack joining me along with AJ Russ behind the glass. We just call him Age, and I call him the fence rider. As we covered a lot of ground and bases, Rockets started the program, got into a lot of hot stove with these Astros trades that potentially could happen. Haven't talked a lot of Texans today. We will get into more of that tomorrow. Dell's going to join us, the resident Dolphin expert, as we get to preview even more of the big showdown at NRG between the Fins and the Texans, as we know how important that game could be. You brought up something yesterday I thought was interesting because it's something that I've been kind of keying on. I wasn't as high on the Texans in totality for the season as Brian and Jeremy were, but I said I thought they'd win 9 games. I thought they could win 10 games. When they got off to the hot start, 10 was a possibility for me, but I originally had said 9, and now I said, I think last week, and then look at going into the bye week, this team looks like it's going to lose their next 3 games. And regardless of what the Colts do or don't do against the Broncos, they could have a game on their hands against Tennessee, which is what you don't want in the final game of the regular season, because they just haven't convinced me that they're playing good enough football. And with that being said, you came back and said, do you think right now, the way the matchups are set, if they had to play Baltimore, is this a one-and-done Texans team? Then I said to you yesterday, what if they played the Broncos? What if they played the Chargers? What if they played the Steelers? To me, leaving the studio, I was more convinced than ever that if your barometer for a successful season is you've got to do at least what you did a year ago, then you're going to be disappointed, because I don't think this team wins a playoff game. I certainly don't think they beat the Ravens. Mm-mm. And so, therefore, I don't think that they're going to have the same success as a year ago. And that's not to take away from the talent on this roster, but for this season as a whole and just how underachieving they've been, I just don't see this team winning a playoff game.
Yeah, and part of it is injury. Part of it is, you know,
inconsistency, right?
Part of it is the O-line and just the bad play of the O-line. It's all of those things. And of course, you know, the old cliche, everybody's dealing with injuries. No, I get that. I get that. But this isn't the same look going into the season that you thought it would be. You're not getting the same production from the O-line that you thought you would. And no, I mean, quite frankly, you know, you thought you would have Nico and Diggs and Tank would be your third wide receiver. And you thought that the O-line would perform up to par like it did last year, and everything would be great. And the defense has played great. But you're, you know, I mean, the good news is you'll get some guys back. You obviously are not going to have Jalen Petrie, but everybody else should be healthy. And that is the one saving grace going into the playoffs. For the most part, you're going to have a pretty healthy
defense. Are you in agreement with me, though, that this is a team that is not going to beat the Ravens?
I agree with you. It's a scary proposition. It is a very scary.
Now, I'm not even talking about regular season. I'm saying if that's your first-round playoff matchup.
Well, so I want to see how healthy they are by the time they get to the Ravens, right? Like, to me, that's going to determine a lot.
You say that,
mm-hmm.
but you already just said you're not going to have Jalen Petrie.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what version of Christian Harris you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, when you talk about the health, we already know that Petrie isn't going to be there, and there's no savior coming through the door that's going to play as well as he has in the nickel for this team to salvage the rest of the season. Now, Jimmy Ward's going to try, but Jimmy Ward was already limited by age, injuries, and the fact that he ain't great at covering either.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Harris, everybody is just expecting, oh, well, with Aziz out, he's just going to step right in and he'll be fine. He hasn't played a game all year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're limited in terms of your depth at linebacker. You know that from an offensive standpoint, you're not bringing in any solutions on the offensive line. You're trying to put Band-Aids on things, no. knowing damn well it's going to be a complete rehaul possibly in the offseason on multiple positions. So I don't understand from a health perspective, aside from, God forbid, getting key players hurt, how anybody is coming in to help save this team from an injury perspective.
Well, like you said, Christian Harris is he's due back, right? Like
he's been practicing now.
Yeah.
I don't know that they'll activate him for the Miami game, but he's in that window.
Says Harris was designated return for injury reserve Monday. That was 3 days ago.
Yeah, so that's he's got a 21-day window.
Yeah. Brandon Hill. Yeah, okay. So then, of course, you have Aziz Alcer here who's suspended. But
I can understand if there are fans out there that, and listeners that believe they can beat the Steelers. I can understand if you think they can beat the Broncos. But so, I don't understand anybody that thinks they can beat the Ravens.
Well, okay, here's the problem with them going up against the Ravens is the Ravens love to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And obviously losing Jalen Petrie puts a big dent in that game plan and stopping the run. Because that was a big part of what your defense does and how your defense stops the run is Jalen Petrie, right? I mean, that's what he does. But that doesn't mean that this defense still can't perform, still can't do it. My bigger concern, quite honestly, going into the playoffs, and this is going to sound crazy, it's not the defense. I'm not concerned about this defense.
You shouldn't be. It's been their calling card all year.
Yeah, but that's my point, though.
But now you're losing guys that have made it your calling card.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, like, Aziz can't practice with the team.
Yeah, I'm not. He's going to be fine. Going into the playoffs,
he's got 1 week to get ready to get back after 3 weeks sitting out, not practicing or hitting anybody.
He'll be fine. I'm really not worried
about
that.
Christian Harris.
Yep. That's
a concern.
But this defense has been just fine without him.
Petrie's out.
Yeah, that sucks.
And that also means that you're losing depth if Jimmy Ward moves up.
Well, you just got through saying that there's not a concern about the injuries, and now you're
no. But I'm saying from a defensive perspective,
you're proving my point.
Then I would say, yeah, you do have a good defense. But even on the defensive line, when you know Mario Edwards has been out and now Foley's out, and you don't know the interior defensive line, which has been a problem. And Foley's not going to play this week, I don't think. And Foley's, I think he's a couple weeks away from being ready to play.
This is 2 days ago, he was still just marked as questionable.
I don't think he's going to play. But regardless,
I don't see any
if he plays, is he going to be what he was before he got hurt? Probably not.
No.
So I think that.
But he'll be ready. He should be ready to go by the playoffs.
Here's the other kicker. Baltimore doesn't have the pass defense that they've had in the past.
That's
but how are you going to pick it apart when their pass rush is going to go right by your offensive line?
Well, so that was the point I was getting to. I'm not as concerned about this team defensively. I mean, obviously, you know, Baltimore loves to run the ball. Mm-hmm. That's their calling card. So you have to gear up to stop the run. And I don't even know where the Texans rank in stopping the run. I'd have to look it up.
But they still can pass the ball. They're better receiver-wise than they've been previously.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes, but let's see, hold on. They are they're the number one rushing offense.
Well, they should be. If you've got Lamar and you've got Derrick Henry, and, you know, regardless of anything
Saquon. Yeah. But Baltimore is second with 179 yards.
Okay.
And they are 243 yards passing, so top five.
And then from a passing perspective, you got Likely. You've got Mark Andrews, who's really starting to play good football and looks like his old
self.
Which
is crazy.
Again.
Yeah, talk about a resurrection.
Yeah, they've got deep threats,
but
too.
But, you know, you're healthy at the corners. Obviously, you've got to do some shuffling at safety to make up for Petrie. But, again, this is what D'Amico Ryans does. And you saw him do it in San Francisco, because you talk about a team
dogs all across the board.
Yeah,
in San Francisco.
But well, he's got dog, dude. This team is deep. That defense is deep. They've got some
They've
dogs
got pass
on that
rushers.
Defense.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah,
but their interior defensive line is in question right now because we really haven't seen a whole hell of a lot of settle. Foley's hurt. Edwards came off a suspension. Autry, they're moving around. He's been good, but now your linebacking core is depleted. The defense worries me because I have believed that they have been the reason why this team has been as good as they have been, regardless of how good you think they've been all year.
I'm more worried. Look, this defense has been the cornerstone for this team all year.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about it. My concern is, can you outscore Baltimore? Can you outscore anybody that you face in the playoffs with the fact that you can't protect C.J. Stroud?
That's, it's almost to the point, too, Barry, if you're doing like a whiteboard and saying, can you rush the ball like Baltimore? The answer is no.
No.
Can you pass the ball as good as they pass the ball? Right now, I would say the answer is no, and that's primarily because you can't protect the quarterback who can pass better than their passer, than their quarterback, but can't get the time to throw to the guys when they're open.
And that's why I'm concerned. Baltimore's putting up almost 30 points a game. You can't outscore Baltimore.
Nope.
That's what, even with your defense, even if your defense holds them to 27, 25, I mean, the Texans are still putting up 23 a game. That's not going to get it. You're not going to outscore Baltimore.
They've had your number last
and
year,
too. That's what concerns me more. I'm not as worried about this defense, even with some of the shuffling and the injuries. That's what D'Amico does. It's just, and it's not CJ. I'm not concerned about CJ Stroud.
I'm not either.
I'm not concerned about, in a vacuum, I'm not concerned about Joe Mixon or Nico Collins or any of the individual play. It's just, as a unit, this team has just not looked good offensively. And it starts and ends with the guys up front. And it's just, it's been like that week over week. And you go and look at statistically some of the numbers they've put up. Yeah, points wise, they're scoring some points. Some of that credit goes to the defense, bailing them out, getting some turnovers and putting them in good field position and stuff like that. But this offense does not look good. And going into the playoffs, that's not what you want.
No, not at all. And I think that that's why there should be cause for a lot more concern. And I'm not trying to poop on anybody's parade. I'm just trying to tell you, I said, we all knew at the start of the season this was going to be a hellacious stretch of 3 games in 11 days against good teams. We didn't know at the time that the Dolphins were going to be up and down because they lost Tua. They have a lot of momentum on their side. Tua's playing great football. They got a chance to make the playoffs, so every game matters to them. So they're going to be ready to play and ramped up. You're not playing your best football. You're missing two key defenders. I could see them losing all 3 games.
Well, let me ask you a question. I asked this yesterday, and we didn't get to it. If they clinch, and I think they will, by the time they get to Baltimore.
The key's going to be not even what you do. The key's going to be if Denver beats Indy this
weekend.
I think
Denver beats Indy. Denver's good.
They're better than I thought they
were. Denver needs to keep winning. Denver's good. I think Denver beats Indy. And so you have to beat Miami. But let's say you clinch before you get to Baltimore. Would you rest everybody?
I'm not showing them anything. Really not.
It's Christmas Day. It's Netflix. You know the NFL's going to be like, listen, we want C.J. Stroud versus Lamar Jackson. We want to see Nico.
You have to worry about what they're going to see.
We want to see Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson get after Lamar, and he's sprinting out, and we want all that. We want Derrick Henry.
If you're the Texans, you can't worry about that. You have to worry about the fact that you don't want to show anything
You're just going straight Popovich.
If you know that it looks like you are going to see them, not Denver or the Chargers or the Steelers, if you know you're going to see Baltimore in the playoffs or the chances are really good, I'm not showing them anything if I already have clinched the division.
I'm with you, but you understand how pissed the NFL is going to be.
I don't really care.
Christmas Day, first Netflix.
Do you think Nick Caserio cares? Because he came from the Patriots. I don't think he cares.
I don't think he cares, but get ready for a sternly worded letter and some rule changes.
Great. I'll put it up in the bathroom stalls.
But you know what? This is why the NBA starts fining people and has new rules. Because they're going to be like, hey, from now on, when it's the big time games or certain, that you can't rest people.
But this isn't
that's what's
load
gonna happen.
Management. This
that's
is
what's going to happen.
This is just straight smart, intelligent gamesmanship if you know you're going to play them. I don't know how any team in their right mind says, I'm going to show them a lot of looks that I'm going to end up showing them in the playoffs. I don't want to do that.
Because I would imagine they're the same way.
Harbaugh's smart enough to sit on it.
Well, they're 8-5. They're not at risk of being passed.
Like, you can run the football and because you know that that's what they do. There's no secret to the fact that they're going to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry.
So they're 8-5. Houston's 8-5. The Chargers are 8-5. Everybody's 8-5. Everybody in the top seven. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. Houston, Baltimore, the Los Angeles Chargers, and Denver are all 8-5.
We got to get you a break. I'm going to ask you a question that follows up that question.
So maybe they do have to. I mean,
is it better for you to not show whoever, regardless of who you're playing? Is it better once you wrap up the division to not show anybody what you may show them in the playoffs? Or is it better for you to be playing your best football and therefore polishing your act now, getting ready for the playoffs? Think about that. We'll come back and get into the final half hour of the program. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, back, final half hour of the program, give or take. It's Barry Laminack, myself, AJ Russ behind the glass. We'll call him Age. As we get closer to 6 o'clock, we're going to have national programming at 6 o'clock. Got car wreck of the day coming up. If you guys got nominations, 713-780-3776. Send us a text, call in the program. Give us your suggestions for car wreck of the day. I did find one that was rather amusing. Before the break, I threw out to you.
I just want to say real quick.
You do this a lot.
I just want to say thanks to everybody on X for the kind words.
Oh, I don't.
Everybody's just saying nice things. I just want to say thanks.
Not everybody.
It's good to see you guys. And thanks. Thanks for the kind words.
Thanks for speeding it up. So I threw up before the break to your question.
Uh-huh.
Like, regardless of who you play, this team, I think we can both agree, has underachieved offensively. And they've got issues with the offensive line. And now this week we've heard that they've made another change at left guard and that Juice needs to rest his foot. So therefore, Zach Thomas is going to play left guard.
Mm-hmm.
So I throw out to you the question, would you rather do what you had suggested if you're going to play Baltimore, maybe even if you're going to play anybody, but kind of vanilla, once you clinch the division, to be very vanilla, not show anybody anything so that they don't have as much to prepare for the playoffs? Or would you rather use this 3 and 4 week stretch of games against three at least quality opponents and then Tennessee to try and do your best to get right what has been ailing you all season long, whether it be the inconsistency of the run game, the inconsistency of the pass game, and specifically as it relates to everything, the offensive line?
It's a really interesting question because their schedule, they've got what?
You got Miami, Baltimore, yep. Kansas City, and then Tennessee.
And two of those, for sure, you could see in the playoffs.
For sure.
If you face Baltimore and beat them, next up, Jeez. Kansas City.
Yeah.
So that's a tough call.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to say, I don't want to give away any secrets and show anybody anything. It's another thing to say, it hasn't been any secret that you haven't done anything close to what you were supposed to do all year offensively, injuries or not.
Yeah. And, I mean, they have a ton of tape on you already. It's not like you're
right.
It's not like all of a sudden you come out and you're like, hey, look at us. We're running the flying V or the run and shoot. You know what I mean? Like, you're not completely changing up your offense. There's wrinkles,
I think from a locker room perspective, Barry, too. You need to show your locker room that you're doing everything to beat teams that you are going to compete with.
Here's the
that
problem.
You think you're on the same level as.
Here's the problem. You go, all right, boys, we're going, we want to be at our best when we hit the playoffs. We're going to the playoffs. But mm-hmm. when we get there, we want to be at our best. So we're going out there. We're going 110%. We're giving it all we got. And then you go out and just get stomped by the Chiefs, stomped by the Ravens, walked by the Dolphins. And then you're like, damn, that was the best we had, too. And now you got to go into the playoffs with that on your mind. That would not be good.
I think that
answers my question. I'm team suck.
I'm not.
I'm team folded up and just.
Team you got to get right before it all goes wrong when it matters the most. I'm for this team trying to get it right now, because if you get it right and you pull off a victory or two in this three strat game of the next three, you don't even have a clue how deep that goes in that locker room to say,
oh, no.
Okay, no matter what happened.
And no,
I'm not
I get
saying,
it.
I'm not saying you personally. I'm saying from a fan base perspective, you get two out of three here, and suddenly all is forgotten of the woes of the past and the loss to Tennessee and some of the slip-ups.
And the confidence is through the roof for the players. I get it. And you know what else you've done? You've given those two teams that you've beaten, and if it's Kansas City and Baltimore, and if it happens to be those two, you've given them, oh, okay, so this is, we know this is what they will do to us to exploit us in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that. Which you always run the risk, but I think that when you think about all of professional sports, and specifically against those teams that rely on film study like football and basketball does, at a certain point, you got to throw caution to the wind, knowing everybody's going to know, have a pretty good idea of what we're going to run and how we're
going
to run it.
Like I said, you're not going in, you're not surprised.
But we got to get this machine fine-tuned and well-oiled before – no matter how much talent we have on paper, we pee all over ourselves and lose in the first round.
AJ, you team get it or team suck?
I would probably be with getting the team right beforehand.
Okay.
So I probably favor what Joel's saying, because I mean, you smart, do want to win against the Ravens, but at the end of the day, you ultimately want to make sure you're right for the postseason. But I think the Texans could lose in the first round, but that's another conversation. Mm-hmm.
So then, if the Ravens beat you by 20 in Week 17. Mm-hmm. And then you go ahead and you beat Tennessee by a field goal and you limp into the playoffs because you got your ass whooped by the Ravens in Week 17.
You're trying to talk
him into it. I'm just saying. You're telling me that's not a possibility?
Everything's a possibility with this team at this point. It's a possibility they lose the division. Yeah. It's a possibility that they lose in the first round. It's a possibility they win two playoff games too.
What do you think is more of a possibility? They beat the Ravens by 10 or they lose by 20?
Lose by 20.
Okay.
But they got a better chance of losing by 20 if they don't get the offense right and the line right before the playoffs.
I was talking Week 17. What do you think is a better possibility? They beat the Ravens by 10 or lose by 20?
No, you're going to be at home.
Doesn't matter. What is the better? What do you think is the more realistic possibility?
I probably still lean that they lose by 20.
Okay. Do you really want that? Like, knowing you went out and gave it your all.
Then you're basically admitting the inevitable is going to happen and you're going to get beat no matter who you play in the playoffs anyway.
But not if mentally you tell your guys, hey, man, we're just going to go in and be very vanilla.
But you didn't put that as part of the equation you threw at me. No, and I still felt like they were going to lose by 20.
No, that's what I'm telling you. You don't go out. You go out and run very vanilla.
Barry, I don't think that they have to go out and run vanilla. They'd lose by 20. There'd be a better chance they lose by 20. That's how bad they've been playing in my mind.
No, I agree. But that's why I'm saying if you know that you going out and playing as best you can right now, given all the circumstances and the problems that you're having, because I think full strength, if they're playing like to their capabilities, like, you know, we saw they could last year, there's no doubt they could beat the Ravens. There's no doubt they could get all the way to the Super Bowl. There's no doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt. If the O-line were to play like they played last year and everything else was to fall into place, yes. That's just not happening this year because the O-line is trash.
But they're not playing well enough for me to think there was no
Everybody doubt. Else is. Everybody else is. Who's not playing well besides the O-line?
Tank?
Bro, Tank literally becomes the third or fourth option in the passing game. He probably falls behind Joe Mixon and Ogunbowale in the passing game. Like, literally, it would go Nico. Well, I mean, now, yeah, Nico, Diggs, Dalton Schultz, Mixon, or Ogunbowale. I can never say his name right.
And then Tank.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, literally, you don't have. Is he Wisconsin guy?
He went to Wisconsin.
Like, I mean, literally, you don't have to rely on Tank to be the guy. And now Mechie is starting to be a player a little bit.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can rely on Mechie.
I can't.
Yeah.
All right. We got a break to get to before we get to the car wreck of the day. So we're going to take that. But stay with us. We'll get to the car wreck and put a bow on it. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Before we go to the break, though, I do want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, as the holidays are upon us and you're looking for that perfect gift for your significant other, Doc Linville does Botox. He does spa treatments. He does plastic surgery. I mean, whatever you are thinking about doing, check with Doc Linville because he's really good at a bunch of stuff. But the one thing that I'm always talking about is the NeoGraft procedure and the PRP treatments that he does for guys that are trying to get their hair back. And it gets results. And newsflash, you get your hair back. It's your hair. It's the same color. It grows the same direction. He gets results. He did it for me. He did it for Granado. He can do it for you, too. And because you're listening to me right now and you're interested in what he could possibly do for you, you can go to 975hair.com right now and get a free consultation with Doc and his staff that normally costs $150 for people coming in off the street. You listen to me. You want to talk to him? It's free if you go to 975hair.com and set up that consultation. Go in and ask questions. Get answers. Have them explain everything to you from PRP treatments to the NeoGraft. photographed, and you'll find out like I did. You're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. He takes some of that and repurposes it to where you need it most. It might be your hairline in front. It might be that baboon's butt that's shiny on the top of your head that you don't like the looks of. They're going to take care of you because they are the best in the business, and they're right here in the Med Center if you go to them by going to 975hair.com. Another newsflash and another kind of Cliff Notes version. 95 to 99% of the follicles that he's going to move from the sides and the back of your head to where you need them are going to be with you for the rest of your life and never go away. That's fantastic. The procedure works, and that's why I'm telling you about it. He wants everybody to know about it because he's not trying to make a killing and a fortune. He's trying to get people their hair back and knows he can make a difference. Check him out today. Go to 975hair.com and tell him I sent you by.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Alone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
You know how we do. We get this in before we get out. I thought we had time to do a little bit more, but the man with a plan behind the glass just decided that we're opening the opening of car wreck of the day. So therefore, it's limiting me in what I can do to get as much covered in a short period of time. But hey, credit goes out to and shout out to my good friend AJ Russ for doing everything today. Producing the show. I know it'll get better tomorrow. My car wreck of the day, I'll start today. Colin Cowherd, next to Stephen A. Smith.
I thought it was going
to
be this segment.
Colin Cowherd, much like Stephen A. Smith, for working at big-time networks and having big-time shows, how do you not have better production staff to stop you from putting your foot in your mouth over and over again? In the latest edition of Did I Say That, Urkel style, Colin Cowherd was trying to think of Kirk Cousins' top playoff moment, and it sounded like this.
Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles got like 45. Is he getting that?
Kirk Cousins wins and has been excellent.
What does Kirk Cousins want?
Kirk Cousins has, he will be in the NFL record book multiple times.
For what?
For
stealing
completion
money?
Completion percentage, yards.
Off the top of your head, give me the most memorable Kirk Cousins playoff victory.
Well, the miracle, the Minnesota miracle, was isn't that him? Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think that was him.
I think it was Case Keenum or something. Yeah, my bad.
Kirk Cousins
well,
playoff
was in the vicinity.
On a national program. My bad. Yeah, Colin, you're bad.
That sounds like something I would say.
Now, Jeremy would have corrected him right away because that's his favorite player of all time, Case Keenum. Go Cougs. I'll say it for him. And AJ did the same. But Colin Cowherd, come on, man. You got to be better than that.
That sounds like something I would say, Colin. Jeez.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. And I don't know that he's right and even accurate about Kirk Cousins being in the record books either. Like, because Kirk Cousins has been really good regular season as a quarterback. But I don't know if he's been that good.
Kirk? Huh?
I said, just for money, essentially. Just for money.
Oh, he's cleaned up in terms of finance.
How did he not go to the You Like That game? That would have been my answer.
Was that a playoff game? That was when he was with Washington?
Yeah.
Was that a playoff game, though?
I don't know if it was a playoff game.
Colin, was that a playoff game?
Well, it doesn't matter. I would have just said that's what he's most noted for.
But I think, didn't he say playoff?
Oh, if it was a playoff game, then okay. But I would have just been like, yeah, that's
this is like when Stephen A. is talking about matchups on Monday Night Football, and the guy he's telling is going to be a hell of a matchup has been on IR for the entire season. Or the fact that one year he was talking about the Angels and talked about Mike Socha being the manager that could make a difference, and he got fired a year and a half ago. Like, you got to be better, and if you're not, then your production staff has to.
Man, no one benefits from a production staff than Stephen A. Smith.
He doesn't use it.
No, he does. Because when you watch Sit Down or Get Out or Shut Up or whatever that show is, whatever it's called, you can tell that he doesn't watch half of the sports he talks about.
My point exactly.
Because what he'll do is he'll recite a bunch of stats and a bunch of talking points that are very vague, very shallow, that he's been handed and that he's read and memorized, and he puts in his own words, but it is very surface level.
I mean, why? Why? Carmelo Anthony better than Chandler Parsons? I mean, why? He screams a lot.
That's it. And but you'll see him talking about like the WNBA, or you'll see, and this was years ago, but you'd see him talking about that, or you'd see him talking about,
especially when it comes to like UFC and boxing and stuff like that. He's supposed to be an expert, and he's
brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'd see him talk about the PGA, or you'd see him talk about, you know, lacrosse. It's like, bro, you don't know anything about
this.
Molly
put him in his place today.
I hope so.
He was killing Belichick for taking the Carolina job. And she's like, you just don't like it because you think everybody needs to play in L.A. or with your favorite teams, the Knicks, the Yankees. You know, you always go with the front runners, but you can't understand where a smaller situation might be the best story that everybody wants to say. And I was like, good for Molly for speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
She can speak whatever she wants, by the way. And I know AJ's with me on that.
Yeah, for sure.
You better be careful. He'll get you fired too, Molly. Look what he did to Max.
He did. He run bumped, Max. He literally career. Bumped Max get out, right bro. On out. Yeah,
run
he,
Max.
That's when
career.
It did become get out.
Yeah.
Instead of, I mean, he yeah. made sure of that.
Yeah.
What do you got for a car wreck?
My car wreck for the day has to be the start of this segment. No, it was.
It's on you, AJ.
It's not. It has to be all of the texters sending in their ideas for the Goon Squad.
Oh, time out. So it's on the texters for following the lead of who should get the car wreck
okay,
of the day.
It's
the
me.
Dumbass that came up with the idea, hey, send in all your nicknames for the Shengun Fan Club. Gee, that was going to end well.
You just called me a dumbass?
I did.
Okay, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
It is.
Me. That's my theme song.
Chin right. music. And he said chin music.
Chin music.
And then AJ likes the Goonies, right. We find out.
Okay, I'm the car wreck of the day. Fine. I thought that.
Hey, fence rider, you going to argue or do you go along with Barry being the car wreck of the day, AJ?
Some of the answers.
I'm not going to argue. I'll go along.
Oh, look at that. Boom.
Oh,
he
now.
Finally picked a side.
Now you
that
want to pick
a side. That was only on one thing. On one thing, I...
So basically you're saying you can't pick a side. You pick a side with me on the Texans option, too, of playing to try and get the offense right or going vanilla. You sided with me twice.
Now okay. you pick a side.
Now you're yeah. becoming smart.
See how it is.
That's what you think.
The Goonies?
What is wrong with that movie?
Shingoon?
The Shingoonies.
I'm indifferent on that.
Well, because you're riding the fence.
Oh, my gosh.
You just went right
I wouldn't
back
go
the
with
fence
it.
Riding again. Get you a bike seat and put it on top because you're riding the fence.
Oh, my gosh.
Crab Shingoon was pretty good.
I rest my case.
He's a long like this.
Thank God they didn't give us a lot of answers on why it's called the hot stove, because that would have been a disaster the same as this has been.
I'll have one tomorrow. I don't know what.
Can't wait. No. Bart Scott voice. Can't wait. My goodness gracious. We got to be better on this.
What? That's good times.
All right, we got national program. By the way, Patrick P. Randizzle chimes in. I'm team don't get hurt. No doubt. Yeah. We knew you were soft from the time that you started listening to The Suspect. Hey, thanks for listening, by the way, Patrick. We appreciate it. Say
what's
little
up, P. Randizzle?
Tell a little dizzle. Total Dallas has tried like 18 times with text messages. Total Arlington deserves no more mentions because the suggestions have all been as stupid as the idea in the first place.
He's
still trying to, he thinks he's a marketing genius. He's still coming up with Shengun fan club ideas.
Listen.
We turn the page.
Eat. Let him eat, dog. Let him eat.
He's got no teams to watch. He might as well.
Ooh. Let him eat, bro. Let's...
Cowboys.
We're going to have.
Well, I guess Ranger season's right around the corner. Mavs look hot. Jeez. Good luck with the Mavs and Vegas. Oh, that's right. They're not going.
Did you see the discussion about Jimmy Butler for Kyrie Irving?
No, I didn't see that. But we can talk about that tomorrow when we have more time. The music says we got to get out. The producer's not telling me that because he's on the fence. But for Barry Laminack and Joel Blank, AJ Russ producing Behind the Glass, we'll all be better tomorrow. And we'll be back. Hopefully you will be too. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Have a great night, everybody. National program coming up next.
Goon Squad!